Please open your hearts to the reading of the good news, God's Word, through our scripture lesson, taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 8, and verses 15 and 16. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say this with confidence: "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
Let's now turn to our gospel lesson this morning. I'm going to be reading from the book of St. Luke, chapter 14, verse 1, and then verse 7 through 14. Hear these words. On Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being very carefully watched. And when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited you will come to you and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my Redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. We get this wonderful parable of Jesus at the house of a Pharisee eating once again, and it seems like Jesus ends up being at people's houses to eat a lot. But this time, he's with these Pharisees. Now, if you think about meals and gathering around your table, some of my greatest memories of my childhood and growing up were around a dinner table. And a lot of things happened around that dinner table. In those days, you were able to have a set dinner time, and I know a lot of you remember that. Seems like nowadays it's hard to get that. But we had a set dinner time, and we'd all be around the table with six kids and my mom and dad and my grandma and my grandpa, and so much was learned and talked about during that dinner time. Now, I have to admit, as we grew older, my mom especially got really nervous about some of our table manners. And of course, the big thing was, if you would grow up, what are you going to do when you go to prom and you have to go out to dinner with that young lady? Are you going to be acting like that? You see, because with five boys, we would come to that dinner table voracious and we would attack that meal. And it's interesting because as I thought about Jesus and giving us some table etiquette today, I thought about all those things that I was taught over and over again. And through the week, I've been asking people, what was one of the things when you grew up that you were told about dining or dining etiquette? And so today, we've got the top 10 that I've heard this week. Now, this isn't from David Letterman. This is just that I've heard this week. Maybe you have said these at one point in time. Maybe you have been told these, but I remember the first one is this. If you're invited, RSVP in plenty of time. Don't let people wait. Don't call the last minute. Here's the second one. Bring a suitable gift. Now, when you go to someone's house, especially for the first time, you need to bring something. The Italians, we used to have this saying. I'll never forget my grandmother saying this. You don't want to show up at somebody's door man a moke. And what that meant was with your hands in your mouth. When you show up to somebody's house for the first time, make sure you have something in your hand to offer them, to give them. Here's another one. Do not unfold your napkin until your host does. Have you ever heard that one? Okay, here's another one. Why are we moving? Oh, use your napkin to gently blot your mouth when needed. Okay, make sure that's nice and clean. Here's another one. Do not push away your plate when finished. Now, that's one of the things that as kids we love to do is a whoosh and dart out. And usually we get stopped by saying, wait a minute, we're not done as a family. Here's another one. Okay, place your knife and your fork at 10 o'clock and at 4 o'clock to indicate that you're done. Let's try this one. Once you've used a piece of silverware, never place it back on the tablecloth. Now, those were the days when we had tablecloths and cloth napkins. You remember those days, any of us? Yeah, okay. So, but never place that used silverware back on the tablecloth. Do not leave a used spoon in a cup. When you're stirring your coffee or you put your sugar in and you're putting your creamer in, don't leave the spoon in there. Never lay a napkin on the table until the dinner is over. The host signals the end of the meal by placing his or her napkin on the table. So you know when it's time to get up or when you should get up. When he takes that, places it on the table. Those are some of the top 10 that I've heard this week from people, and I bet if we went around, you could tell me so many more maybe that you've said or you've had said to you. Table etiquette. Now, Jesus was really concerned about this today, but for a different reason than just nutrition. You know, when we get together, we eat. He was concerned about that deep learning that happens around a table and understanding relationships. And so we think about those times in our lives when we learn from when we eat with somebody important things. One of the first things that came to mind was, you know, when you're first courting someone or dating someone, what's probably the best first date? Yes. Let's go out to dinner. Maybe I'm going to go out to dinner or go to a movie, but usually there's something with food on that first date. Okay, and maybe one of you is nervous and one of you is not. I remember Lisa and I's first date, I ate and ate and ate, and she just sat there, watched me. How can you do that? Aren't you nervous on a first date? Well, through that, but when you think about it, what you learn through that, you learn what somebody's table manners are, but then you learn how they treat the server. Do you hear what their attitudes might be as they discuss things? And you even see what kind of a tipper they are. Let's think of another situation. The second one was, let's go into a high school cafeteria. And you see people, kids gathered around tables and eating. But when you go in there and you see what's going on, you can see who's in the right crowd, who's in the wrong crowd, who's in the accepted crowd. I always remember when I was a teacher, I was so lucky always to have cafeteria duty. But when I would do that, it would always be, you'd sit there and watch all the kids at the table. And then all of a sudden you'd see someone sitting by themselves, young girl, young boy, kind of high school, ninth grade-ish, maybe just sitting by themselves. And no one really caring. Or you'd see even just groups and cliques eating together and kind of not looking and paying attention to other people. And you realize that there's a real line that's drawn there. And those can be what you see and hear in that cafeteria can be so pertinent to what's really going on in that generation, in that time's life. The last one I remember is wedding receptions. When you go to a wedding reception, that's another time where people are gathered around a table, people are gathered around a meal. And one of the things that you'll notice at a wedding reception is, and I always look at this, is how does the bride's side get along with the groom's side? Where is the bride's parents seated versus where the groom's parents seated? How do these people get along? What are their attitudes? Are they? And you can tell by people's different demeanors when they're around a table when they feel comfortable or when they don't feel comfortable. One of the things I think is really interesting is, when we have weddings nowadays, we have that big bridal table up front, and everybody's forced to be in a certain place. But when you release them, sometimes they get that look of relief on their face, like, "Good Lord, I don't have to see that person or face that person again." But these are three situations that came to mind where we are eating at table and we're learning some new things about things. Well, Jesus was always watched by the Pharisees, but he uses this occasion to watch them. And when he does, it reveals their human nature. It reveals what they were really kind of in this for, or why they really would have him over for dinner. And when the Pharisees would have these dinners, people would jockey for those important seats, those seats of prestige, being at the right time in the right place. And so Jesus sees this, and he uses it as an opportunity to put forth his own table rules, his own table manners. And so first of all, Jesus speaks to those who receive the invitation. And he says this: don't take a place of honor at a table, because someone else, someone who might be greater than you, may be supposed to sit there. And what's going to happen is that host is going to come up to you and say, "You need to move there because this person was supposed to sit there." And Jesus says, "You're going to be humiliated." Now, I've been in situations where that's happened. I thought, well, maybe I was supposed to sit here, but that wasn't the place. And when you get moved down, it's a humiliating kind of thing. Jesus spoke to them and says this, and then he says that those who humble themselves will be exalted, okay? And those who are exalted will be humbled. And so we get this first rule that when you come into this banquet, when you come into this table, don't be looking for the best place. Take the last place. And if you do, you might have the possibility of that, your host saying, "Move up." Now, the second thing is, then Jesus switches and he talks to those who are giving a party. All right, so he's in the middle of this dinner and he gives this first rule. Now he's talking to those who are giving a party. And he says, when you give a party, don't invite your friends. Don't invite your relatives. Don't invite your rich neighbors. He says, when you give a party, invite these who are poor, who are sick or lame or blind. Invite those who never get an invitation. Invite those who never really can invite you back, because there is going to be your biggest blessing. Now, as we think of this today, we think of this parable, it's all about humility. It's not about being proper and stuff like that, that when I did those first 10 rules. But one of the things that's about being humility. And, you know, humility is a big thing for us to learn, because sometimes in our lives we keep wanting to, like Linda said with that balloon, puff ourselves up sometimes or think of ourselves greater maybe than what we are. But my friends, it's God's purpose and His plan to seat us wherever He wants to seat us. And He will seat us at the dinner table where He chooses. And humility for us is to trust that everyone has a seat at God's table. Everyone has a seat at God's table. Now, it's interesting because this passage, if you look at it, sometimes it may seem a little like Jesus is going to do some reverse psychology here. Okay, if you sit here, you'll be asked to be here. So try to do this so that you can get to that point. But that's not what He's saying. Jesus is saying, when you take those places, there's a deeper meaning around that table than just being there to eat. There's a deeper meaning of things that we should be thinking and feeling and acting with one another. There's a fellowship that should be there that is pure and true. And so Jesus leads us in that. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous defines humility as this. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And I think it's a fitful thing to kind of go along with what Jesus is teaching here. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. You know, it's easy for us sometimes in the church to be overcome by some of those feelings, because it's easy, like the Pharisees of those days, to fall into those situations, to maybe think more of ourselves than we really are, or maybe to seek those places of prestige and honor, and sometimes I even think of the word control, than to really pray and fast about those things where God would have us seated, where God would have us placed. You know, and there's something eternal about that. But in our humanness, we feel like we've got to create that for ourselves. We've got to place ourselves at the head of that table for ourselves, because that's the only way. That's the only way we're going to get along or we're going to get anywhere forward. And our ego can fall prey to that. Now, at the end of the parable today, Jesus says this. He tells us what to expect when we have the host moving us up to the front. He said, you know what that's really like? He goes, that's how it's going to be at the resurrection. That's what it's going to be when Christ comes to call us to ourselves. That's how it's going to be when we leave this world. Christ will call us, and He will move us up to play our place in His heavenly kingdom. And we don't need to worry about that, where we're seated, where we're placed right now. But we need to make sure that as we assemble around that table, that we are commonly there as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, all of our scheming and maybe jockeying for position or trying to get control, none of that's going to matter when Christ comes again. None of it. It's going to be His call, His judgment, that's going to bring us there. Now, my friends, what we're trying to say here is that Jesus calls us now, before the resurrection, before that time, to kind of examine our table manners. And in a better way, to examine how we live our lives when we're in the midst of people. And He uses this wonderful situation of a dinner and a reception. And here's some questions, I think, as we ponder this situation today that we kind of ask ourselves. And number one is this. Do we live as inviting people? When you talk, when you fellowship, are you that kind of person that's an inviting person that draws people in? Or do you have an air of arrogance about you that maybe will distance people? And Jesus is saying that we need to be a people that are inviting. And not only do we have to have that demeanor to us, but we have to have those words, inviting words, that are going to perk people up and understand about our faith and our beliefs and invite them to open their minds to this possibility. Do we have inviting attitudes? You know, sometimes when we sit around a table or go out for coffee around a table, we kind of, Italians call it this, spuligia. You know what spuligia means? That means to let everything out. Have you ever done that? Gone with a friend or somebody out to dinner and you just let everything out. Everything that's kind of ticking you off, everything that's kind of making you angry, maybe everything that you're hoping for. But Jesus says to us that when we gather around that table, we have to have an inviting attitude. And finally, do we live lives that invite people to Christ? And so when we go to that table, our demeanor, our words, what we say and do, are the things that are going to invite people to follow Jesus Christ? Or are we totally going to be into ourselves and our prestige? You know, we talk about a dinner table. I remember a time when our dinner table was totally full. Now, if you think about your dinner tables, life and time changes that, doesn't it? There's not all those people around there, and it seems like we don't gather as often as we used to. And we kind of shake our heads and go, what happened? And that's kind of the way it is with the church. The church can be a place where we can look back and say, why are all these seats empty? Where have all these people gone? But the bigger question is this. What should we do about it? What can we do about it that's going to impact lives for Jesus Christ? And our focus can't be just to fill all these seats, but it's to fill all these seats with people who are on fire for Jesus, people who are committed to His Word and His work, and feel His Holy Spirit in us. You know, I was listening to one of our managers and talking about new sales representatives and customer service people. And they said that, do you know that our generation now and probably the generation to come, that customer service and sales and things like that have dropped considerably in all industries. And do you want to know why? Because today, it's easy to email someone or it's easy to text someone a message. And what they found is that leaders, and we've had to go back and retrain people on what it is to call someone up, show up in front of them, and talk to them one-to-one about whatever it is we're selling or doing. And it's kind of the same way for the church. We need to get back to just standing in front of someone, talking to them, sharing our love of the Lord, sharing the call that God has put on our hearts, so that they too might come to know Him as Lord and Savior. And you know, when you think about it, it's not that hard, is it, to think, what's the answer? It's not that hard. It's right there. It's that old-fashioned gift of sharing your heart, sharing your life, maybe sharing your table. And so as we continue on today with our communion today, one of the things that I love about our doctrine as our church is that our table is open to anyone who professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our table is a place where anyone can come forward and partake of the meal that Jesus provides us. Now I'm going to sum this all up in a very easily way, and I hope this makes sense to you. The way that the Pharisees saw God's table was this. If you look at that, lots of chairs down a row, the head seat being way far at the back. That's the way Pharisees see it. That's the way people who are feeling like they need to get ahead see God's table. But in reality, God's table looks like this. It's round. That's God's table. That's God's church. Everyone has an equal place. Everyone can sit. And so instead of seeing our opportunities as that rectangular table to get ahead, let's think of ourselves as that round table where God has put a place card for each one of us, but each one of us is in a place just as equal to one another. Let's bow our heads. God, we know that, you know, you share your parables with us to teach us things. But Lord, we know that when you were saying these things, you were thinking about us being ready for that day of resurrection where you'd be able to seat us in your kingdom, where you've already put a place for us. God, we ask that we can trust in your invitation, that we know that you have that place for us and that we really don't need to do anything about it than be your servants and your disciples. God, you prepare us for this table. And Lord, as we come to communion today, as we come and partake of the sacrament of the bread and wine, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be invited. And we ask, Lord, that as dinner is served, that we remember your etiquette. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.